Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jamie Vaughn with Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by Bethany Publishing House, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Our guest today is Karen Wittemeyer, who's here to talk to us about the book in her latest series called In Honor's Defense. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I want to hear all about this book, so tell me about it.
Okay. Well, this is the conclusion to the Hanger's Horsemen series. And so each book has featured different of the horsemen in the series. There are four total. And we had Matthew Hanger, who is the leader of the group in book one. And then Mark and Jonah were carried on in book two. And then this is Luke Davenport's story. And he goes by the nickname Preach because he likes to quote scripture. Uh-huh. And so this has been a fun story to write. And I'm really excited to share the final story. We do get all the horsemen together again at the end. So I'm looking forward for readers to have the chance to see Luke in his best.
Yeah. So four horsemen, is it like a play on the horsemen of the apocalypse?
A little bit. It's kind of funny because I was a child of the 80s. And so when I was growing up, the A-Team was really big. And so kind of the inspiration for how this group got started was I took the A-Team and meshed them with the Magnificent Seven. And so I kind of turned into these former military guys. They were, they served in the cavalry and they were kind of scarred by some of the things that they endured during their time in the military. So they left and became kind of vigilantes for justice, helping those who couldn't help themselves. And so, of course, we have the Western series. They're all set in Texas. And so they go around doing good, but along the way they fall in love. So it's kind of fun.
I love that it's based on the A-Team. Murdoch was so. I absolutely love that. So how do you get your inspiration to write these stories? You know, I know you said you took these two iconic film series or television series and meshed them together, but now you've got them back in, I believe, Texas. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do you go for that?
Yeah. Ideas for different books come in different ways. Sometimes it's a movie or even another book that I had read or even just some random thing. I had one book that was inspired by the prodigal son in the Bible. And so just different things will strike me. Sometimes it's just, I really like these characters and I want to build something with these characters. And especially later in the series, once the series has already been established, that really becomes more of the motivation. So for this story in particular, Luke is kind of Matt's right-hand man. And so, but he's never really seen himself as a hero. He still remembers all the hardship that he went through in his childhood leading up. There was a lot of rebellion, a lot of broken home. He had an abusive father, mother abandoned him, you know, so he's got a lot of baggage that he's carrying around. And he kind of found an outlet for that through his military service. It gave him the discipline that he needed. It gave him kind of a sense of brotherhood with the other horsemen that he has surrounding him. And I really wanted to tell his story, but then I had to come up with who is going to be the right heroine for this guy. And so that's where the idea for Damaris came in. I really kind of wanted to do something completely opposite, but something that you wouldn't think that he was looking for, but something that he kind of always secretly craved and didn't ever believe he was worthy of. And so she's more of a proper lady. She's very, she thinks that she's invisible. Like she's one of the youngest kids of like seven in her family. And she's been left places by, you know, when she was a little girl, you know, her parents accidentally left her places without realizing, you know, all parents like have this moment of, oh no, I'm left a child behind. And so she was that one that was always so quiet. She's kind of a little bookish nerd. You know, she just likes to read and she likes to do needlework. She's a very quiet kind of person where he's, you know, all about, you know, fighting and using his fists. And he's, you know, made a name for himself as being this, you know, big burly guy. And, but there's, you know, for someone when he was growing up, looking in the windows of these homes that he always wished he was a part of, right? He sees the perfect family. They're all gathered around the table for dinner. There's little doilies on the couch and they're, you know, all these little things that you wouldn't think, you know, this big burly guy would want or care about, but it ties into his past with the sadness that he had longing for this whole home where he came from, this really broken, destructive home. And so she's able to provide that. And there's a scene early in the book. She's helping him recover. He's been injured and she's helping him recover. And of course, it's not proper for him to be staying in the house where she is because she's taking care of her nephew and she's, you know, only adult there, female. And right. So she makes a place for him in the barn. And it's not just, here's this, you know, here's some hay, here's, you know, we'll put you a little mattress out there or something. She decorates it. And she puts little things that she has cross-stitched up on the stall wall. She makes this like little home for him mm-hmm. out in the barn. And that's when he kind of first starts falling in love with her.
Oh, I love that. How does your faith inform your writing?
That's a good question. I pray every day before I write. Mm-hmm. And I feel like God teaches me a lot as he's teaching my characters. And so it's very common for my characters to be struggling with the same types of issues that I struggle with, whether it be issues of pride or I'm not very good with hospitality. And, you know, there are different things that I struggle with. And they kind of find their way into these stories. Also, mm-hmm. sometimes things that I see loved ones or close friends that struggle with. I happen to know several people in my life who really struggle with loneliness. I mean, it's especially with COVID and all of this that's gone on. Yeah. Loneliness really seems to be a plague on our communities these days. Right. And so I really, with writing this story, I don't know if it was intentional or it just kind of the spirit led and that's how it came about. But there's a lot of emphasis on connection. You know, you have these two people who never really felt like they belonged mm-hmm. in when they were growing up, and they find some belonging in each other. And Damaris's nephew, Nathaniel, plays a big role in this as well. He recently lost his father. So he's got a lot of anger and grief that he's working through. And so the three of them are all kind of broken, lonely people feeling like, you know, they either never had or they lost the family that they, you know, depended on. Mm-hmm. And they kind of form this new bond, this new family, and they'll basically do anything to keep it together.
What do you want the reader to take away from the book?
I think, especially with this idea of loneliness, mm-hmm. Whether the reader themselves are someone who feels that loneliness, who feels kind of like nobody sees me, or I'm not worthy because of things that are in my past, or I'm just so hurt right now, whatever type of loneliness they're dealing with, I hope this gives them hope that there is connections to be made out there. There are people that care. There's a God who cares. And he will guide them to those relationships if they take the chance to reach out. Mm-hmm. But also I want to encourage people who perhaps are more like me. I have a wonderful, loving family. And I feel so blessed with that. But this is also a reminder to me to not just be content in my happy little bubble, but to reach out to others who may be struggling with this loneliness or depression or other things that they're just really feeling isolated, and try to reach out to them and encourage them, let them know they're seen, they're loved, they're cared about, and maybe even get them back in touch with God if that's something they're struggling with.
Yeah. Good thought. Tell me what is next on the horizon for you.
So this is the conclusion to this particular series. So I'll be starting a new series. And one of the things that I love about writing historical fiction is, at least for me, it feels the closest to a fairy tale because I don't know if it's the big dresses that they wore back then or, you know, what it is. But even though I don't write, you know, princess, you know, prince kind of stories, I love fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, you know, in the Disney generation. I adore those stories. Mm-hmm. And my next series is going to be based on the idea of fairy tales, but they're going to be different. We're going to give them a Texas twist. So all of my stories have been set in Texas, and that will continue.
Okay.
So the first story that I'm working on right now, the working title, and this may change, but the working title is Someday My Ranger Will Come. And so it's going to be a Snow White based story. We have a Texas Ranger hero. We have obviously a very lovely heroine who is under the thumb of a villainess who really likes mirrors and you know has the narcissistic character trait. And they'll be she ends up the Snow White character ends up on a ranch called the Diamond D Ranch that is basically a retirement home for cowboys. So there's seven older retired cowboys that live there to fulfill those roles. So I'm really having a lot of fun giving this a Texas twist. Of course, there'll be a lot of action and mystery and all of those elements that my books are known for. But it's been a lot of fun to just kind of play with the idea and give it a new twist.
I love that. How many do you want to do? Do you want to do all the main princesses that we know?
I'm very tempted right now. I'm contracted to do three.
Okay.
So we'll be doing three to start, and who knows, there could be more coming, or we might do something different after that.
I love this idea. So I can't wait to read those. Love it.
Thank you.
All right. So everybody, if you liked what you saw today, go and get the book. It's out now. Go to your local Christian bookstore. Try to shop local if you can, but it's available wherever books are sold. And Karen, we're so excited for you. I cannot wait to see what happens at the end of this series for you and what happens with your fairy tale series.
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun today.
Good. Now, if you don't want to miss another chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast, make sure to hit subscribe below so you don't miss another one. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.